Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. I want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to worshiping the Lord together today, and we would love to connect with you, and there's a couple ways we can do that. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you if you'd fill that information out and let us know you're a guest today. We would be grateful for that, and you can also go online. If you've joined us online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org. And there's a button that says, I'm new. And so we would love to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us today. Excited this morning. Grateful we have Pastor Jonathan back with us from vacation. And so we're going to work him hard this week with Vacation Bible School. So anyway, and then also, man, praise the Lord that baby Stetson Melton's here. So, well, not here, but here, right? Yeah. So, Dad did a good job, stayed out of the way, and all that sort of thing. So, anyway, I'll be praying for Kaylin and Matt as well. They're in that early stage of, they don't know what sleep is right now. It's hard to find. So, pray for the baby as well. And so, be praying for them and just rejoicing that the Lord has blessed them with this child. So, hey, let me make you aware of a few things. Hopefully you know, Vacation Bible School starts this evening. It's already here. June is here. It's hard to believe this year's really going by fast. But Vacation Bible School starts this evening. And so there's still time to register. We still have plenty of space. There's a lot of Vacation Bible School that's happening around our community this week. But it's happening each evening here, 6 to 8 o'clock. Registration will begin at 5:30. And so, if you do know of any little ones that are coming and maybe they haven't registered, especially if they haven't registered yet, if you go ahead and try to get here early tonight, and all of the workers and all that sort of thing, please be here early and ready to go. And so thankful for everybody who's worked really hard to get this ready and excited about this week. We begin tonight. We will go through Thursday night. Now, Thursday night will be family night, and so here's what I want to encourage you to do, even if maybe you don't have a specific part in Vacation Bible School this week. I want to encourage you to come out on Thursday night, be with us and just enjoy that time at family night together. And it's a chance for us to be together, fellowship, encourage one another. It's also a chance for us to connect with those who maybe have visited our church this week or sent the little ones to Vacation Bible School. And so please plan to come out and be a part of that this week. We've got a Bible study with the pastor this Wednesday, so I want to invite you to come for that. It's at 9:30 in the reception hall, and so be here for that. And then we've got youth camp coming up, Ghana mission trip. There's a lot of things that are happening, and so just take note of those things in your bulletin and in the news and notes as a part of the calendar. And on the back, we keep a running list there of food pantry needs. And so when it's stocked, we'll put that there. And then when there are needs, we put in that box what the needs are. And so if you can help meet some of those needs, I'd be really grateful for that. Okay, well, I wanted to just read Psalm 111 this morning before we begin. It says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The work of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So let's join together. We're going to pray, and then we're going to join together part of that praise. We're going to worship the Lord together because he is worthy of our praise this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, you are good and gracious and kind, and we thank you for today. God, thank you that you love us so. Thank you that you have sent redemption to your people, and we are grateful for the redemption that we have in Christ. And Lord, you are worthy, and so I pray this morning we would sing in praise and adoration of you and your name. God, I pray you be with our service. Help us to honor you in all that we say and do. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing Victory in Jesus?
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Isn't it so wonderful to sing about the victory that we have in Jesus? And quite honestly, today we're blessed with an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And in that, we do remember the victory that Jesus gained on the cross over sin for us. It is because of his sacrifice on the cross that we have the ability to sing praises to him today. Let's continue to raise up the name of Jesus.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our home, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus.
And amen, the highest praise, who has the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King, Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King, Almighty Lord, saints and angels all. Above all names, you stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus. Touching every heart, I worship you, I worship you. worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are. I worship you, and you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are
Waymaker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
You are
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
You are
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Amen. Isn't that the truth this morning? Those are just a few of the things that God is to us. Amen. We just sang about the truth of who God is, but there, He's so much more. And you know what? He's the same God today as He was in the Bible times when Moses was raising up the staff so the seas would part, so the Israelites would walk over dry land, making a way. He was the way maker then. He is the way maker today. Amen. I'm preaching today. Sorry, Pastor. But we've got to understand that when we sing these songs, we're speaking the truth of who God is. And here's the reality. This is just prep work, amen, for what we're going to be singing in heaven when we see our Savior face. We just sang about the victory in Jesus, amen. I'm going to preach this a little bit longer. We sang about one day we'll sing up there, that song of victory. I don't know about you, but I want to get in all the practice now. Let's continue to sing about that same God who works in our lives today.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You moved in power then, God move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You're a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a savior then, you are a savior now. You are the same God, you are the same God. Faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. lives in your freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again. Come and fill me.
About you, but my Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. And we just sing and celebrate all that God has done, what He is doing, and believe that He wants to continue to work and continue to move. And so, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of Luke? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and beginning in verse 7. I want to preach to you a message I've titled From Passover to Supper. And we are going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. And this morning we're going to look at this passage, and it's important for us to understand a little bit of context and why I titled this From Passover to Supper, because of the historical significance of Jesus taking and what the Jews knew of the Passover and turning it to the Lord's Supper. And so if you remember way back in the Old Testament portion of your Bible, we read about the Hebrews becoming slaves in Egypt, and then God working to deliver them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But part of that deliverance, as if you remember, the 10th plague that would happen is that the death angel, there was prophecy, say, hey, the Hebrews, you need to go and sacrifice a lamb and get your family in the household and take the blood of that lamb and wipe it on the doorpost and on the lintel of your home. And on the doorway, and that way when the death angel passes over the land of Egypt, everywhere that the blood was not applied, the firstborn in the house would die. And so God had given them that word, said this is exactly what you need to do, and that's exactly what happens. If you remember reading, many throughout the land of Egypt woke up in the middle of the night to find their firstborn dead. But the Hebrews were spared because they had followed the instruction of the Lord, and they had sacrificed the lamb. They followed the directions that were there, that were given to them, and the blood was applied to the appropriate places. So when the death angel passed over, it passed over their house, did not visit their house. Their firstborn was spared because of the application of the blood of Christ. And so because of that, the Egyptians rose up. They understood that the hand of God was against them. And if you remember, they gave them all that they needed and said, please, you need to leave. And of course, we know that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, followed them, chased them. Pastor Jonathan referenced this morning the picture of Moses leading them out and delivering them and giving them safe passage across the Red Sea. And then the Red Sea swallows up Pharaoh and his soldiers, and God delivers them. But as a part of that deliverance, there was an institution set in place that God said, from this time forward, every year you are to observe the feast of the Passover. And you have this portion of this day, and so that's the 15th day of the month of Nisan, and so that when it was celebrated annually. And the institution of that was that once they got into the promised land, it was to be observed within the city limits of Jerusalem. And so there's a lot of speculation because a lot of people would come in during that time to Jerusalem that many, 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 many times over again that it would multiply its population for that time of celebration. I was just reading this week that some believe that 66 AD, a few decades after what we're going to read this morning about Jesus, that there were some 255,600, I think, lambs that were sacrificed in 66 AD. And the average would have been about 10 individuals per lamb. So you start doing the math, and there's somewhere around 2.5 million people in the city of Jerusalem. And how all that works out and the size of Jerusalem and all those rooms and all that place that took place, I don't know. But nonetheless, there was a great influx and incoming into the city during that time as they observed this annually. It's a monumental moment and every year to observe that, to sacrifice unto the Lord and remember what God had done. And so this morning, we're going to see where Jesus takes these elements in this time of the Passover, and it's going to be flipped on its head, if you will. We're going to transition and see this transition from the observance of the Passover to the transition of the Lord's Supper. And so Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 7, if you find your place and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. God, thank you for your word. I pray that, God, you would fill me with your spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray you would draw all people unto yourself. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this. God desires for us to remember the sacrificial atonement of Jesus on the cross. We are going to observe the Lord's Supper today. We're going to study the text. And as a result of studying the text and taking of the Lord's Supper, the main focus of this is to recognize and remember the sacrifice of Jesus, this word atonement, that he shed his blood in my place and in your place, that there may be a payment for our sin. And so the main focus, the main idea is this, is that we remember the sacrificial atonement of Jesus on the cross. The question then is this, is have you accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross on your behalf? It must be more than head knowledge. It must be more than, yes, I acknowledge that Jesus did come, live a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the grave. I do believe that, but do you believe he did it on your behalf? And have you individually, personally accepted that for salvation? And so there are three truths I want us to see from the text this morning. Number one, the Lord's Supper was prepared. The Lord's Supper was prepared. So look at verse 7 with me. Then came the day of unleavened bread. This was the day before, but this was the time that evening when the lamb was to be prepared, was to be sacrificed, the picking out of that and the sacrifice of that in preparation for, okay? That was the idea. So when the Passover must be killed. And he went and he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. So they're on their way into this city, they're on their way to do this, but Jesus sends Peter and John. In the other Gospels, we don't have, we just know that he sent them to prepare it, but here Luke gives us the name of these two, and these are two of the most trusted disciples that Jesus has. So he entrusts them with this responsibility to go in and make the preparations. Verse 9, so they said to him, where do you want us to prepare it? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water, following him into the house which he enters. And you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room, and there make ready. All right, so notice a few things here that we got to pay attention to. He sends them in, and of course they have the question, well, how in the world? I mean, there's a lot of people here, Jesus, and where are we supposed to go? How are we supposed to do this? And it seems a little bit obscure to us because he sends them in the city and say, hey, why don't you go find a guy carrying some water and ask him, say, hey, the teacher's ready and needs to observe the Passover, where can we do this? Seems a little bit obscure going, man, if all these people have come in, how are they supposed to find one man? Well, in that day, it was typically the job of the women to carry the water. So that would have quickly made somebody stand out of seeing a man carry water. And so they were to approach him. But then notice that Jesus says that you'll find him carrying water. You'll ask him, say, hey, the master wants to observe with the disciples. And he's going to have a room ready. Go with him and he'll show you the place. Now, this was not completely uncommon because the citizens of Jerusalem, if they had an extra room, it was anticipated, it was expected that they would have those places ready for people to be able to come into the city and observe the Passover. But nonetheless, in some way, we don't know if Jesus had had a prior conversation with him. We don't know that if he had heard from the Lord in some other way, but nonetheless, God had made ready that this man would be ready to take them in and that everything would be prepared for them to be able to observe the Passover. Verse 13, so they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. This was not by accident. This was not by some happenstance. The Lord Jesus, and this is important for us that we need to see, because this is the Lord's Last Supper in the sense that he would have with his disciples before his death, burial, and resurrection. Why make such a big deal about this? Why talk about this? Because Jesus knew full well what was coming, and he intentionally, on purpose, wanted to have this observance of the Lord, of the Passover with his disciples before his betrayal and his death, burial, and resurrection. And so, but notice some of the folks that are there, some that are a part of this. First, he sends Peter, one of his most trusted disciples, but he would know full well that that Peter, in just a few short days, would be guilty of denying Jesus. Do you remember in Luke 22, if we were to speed on past toward the end of the passage here, the Lord said to Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. There's the Peter we love, right? He's ready with a quick response. But he says, then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And so Jesus knows full well that he's going to have the denial of one of his most trusted disciples. And at the same time, He is going to observe the Lord's Supper even with his very own betrayer at the table with him. And so this Passover was prepared. He knew, and before he even comes, that this was going to be what he does. And he observes this Passover. John chapter 12, verse 27, we get a glimpse into this time of prayer that Jesus has. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. All that Jesus does was intentional, and it was on purpose, even knowing what was to come. And so I need you to see this morning that the Passover was prepared, that this was an institution that they had observed, and this was on purpose that Jesus was gathering them for this time. It was common for individuals. You typically celebrated this as a family. And so it's interesting that Jesus takes his disciples, the apostles. We know that there were more who followed Jesus, that listened to Jesus, and so it wasn't just this big group. You know, he narrows the group down intentionally to celebrate this, to observe the Passover together. So number one, the Lord's Supper was prepared. Number two, the Lord's Supper was celebrated. It was celebrated. Notice verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, right? There's the note we just made that it's not the big disciples group at large, but rather it's these apostles. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this. There's that intentionality. Eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I believe what Jesus is pointing to is that this is going to be his last time eating and fellowshipping with this in this manner until the ushering into the kingdom of God. There will be another time when Jesus sits down at a table and there's a feast, but that'll be the feast at the great marriage banquet where we sit down with the Lord Jesus and feast together at the culmination of everything. And so Jesus here, he celebrates this Lord's Supper. He says, I've had fervent desire to sit down with you and eat this with you. And he knows full well that he has come to this hour. He is here. He is knowing what is coming. John 13:1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Man, the heartbeat of Jesus is impeccable. It's undeniable that we see the passion and determination that Jesus has to complete the task at hand. And can I just remind you this morning that Jesus does it for his apostles. He does it for the disciples. He does it for all those that are following him in his day at this moment, this time. But just as we sang just a moment ago, that he is the same God, that he did it then for you now. Knowing that you needed salvation, knowing that I needed salvation, his determination was unchanged for his apostles, and his determination is unchanged for you, for your salvation, for your relationship with the Lord. John 10:18, Jesus said it this way, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Man, Jesus is not a victim. I've seen this some this week, and I'm not going to spend much time here. Jesus is not a victim of some claim of a sham trial and rigged and all that sort of thing, because Jesus isn't a victim at all. See, you can't victimize somebody who laid their life down. Jesus went willingly to the cross. It's not some sense of being drugged there. It's not some sense he went against his own will or own accord. But because if that's true, then the Word of God is violated here. Because Jesus said that no one takes it from me, but I lay it down. And to know and to think that Jesus being perfect, being perfectly innocent, and He lays down His life on your behalf and on mine, and to think of the things that I've done on my worst day, that I'd be ashamed that if anybody knew the things that you've done on your worst day, that you're praying that nobody ever finds out. God saw you on that day and said, I love you anyway, and I lay my life down for you willingly. You didn't take Jesus to the cross. You didn't drive Jesus to the cross. You didn't cause Jesus to go to the cross. Rather, it's the heartbeat of God that He came and laid Himself down when you were at your worst of the worst. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. Now, does He want us to stay there and continue there? No. But man, as we think about the sacrifices, we think about taking of the Lord's Supper today, and we take of the bread and we take of the cup, it's in remembrance of what Jesus willingly did. And so the Lord's Supper was prepared. The Lord's Supper was celebrated. And then, number three, the Lord's Supper was established. It was prepared. We celebrate the Passover. But then what we're about to see is we're about to see a transition. We're about to see a shift. Where this was no longer celebrating of this Passover, looking back to an old covenant that had been established, but rather an establishment of a new covenant. So notice verse 17. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. I believe this is the same reference that we talked about a moment ago in verse 16. And He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood which is shed for you. And what is happening here is that now we have seen a transition. That He has taken what they knew quite well, this Passover Supper, this Passover feast of remembering this old covenant of what God had done, how God had delivered them out of bondage. God had delivered them out of slavery. He had led them through the wilderness and He had delivered them into the promised land. And this continual annual reminder of what God had done, what Jesus is doing now, there's something different coming, and there's a new covenant where we will observe the Lord's Supper, not to just remember what God did for the Hebrews out of Egypt, but rather for us to look back and remember what Jesus did for all mankind. And so He takes the Passover tradition and the observance of the Passover and transitions it into what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. It was common. I wonder what it was like being around that table, because it was common for the host to tell the story of the Passover, tell the story of the deliverance of the Hebrews out of Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea and God's faithfulness through the years of the wilderness. It was tradition. It was common that the host would tell that story, and others may ask questions about it, because oftentimes, right, it was in a family and the children would ask questions. And so there's this going on and going back and forth. And I wonder what it was like to sit at the feet of the master teacher as He leads them through talking about the Passover and the establishment of that. But then He begins in this moment to try to get the eyes of the apostle to stop looking into the past and start looking to the future. And in the next few days, everything is going to change. And that Jesus is going to be betrayed. And He's going to offer Himself as a sacrifice. And that because of the blood of the Passover, God was faithful to remember His covenant. And that He delivers them. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He is establishing the new covenant. It took the blood to establish a covenant. And so Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the establishment of this covenant. But I want you to notice a couple things here. And then we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to take of the Lord's Supper. 17, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, there were, traditionally, there were four cups that were taken as a part of the taking up of the Passover and the celebrating of that. And so it's interesting, Luke is the only one to mention what seems like at least two cups that he references here. But he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then verse 19, "Then he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The bread they would use is unleavened bread. That's significant. Hey, this morning we have homemade unleavened bread, all right? But the unleavened bread is as important and is significant because when you read through the Old Testament, you even read through the teaching of Jesus in the New Testament, leaven was paralleled with sin. And so it was a contamination, it was sin, it was the picture that was associated with that. So they would use unleavened bread for that reason, but then it's even more significant for us as we take of the Lord's Supper this morning that we use unleavened bread because it's a remember, it's to picture the life, the body of Jesus, and we know that Jesus was without sin. And so he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now listen, as we take of the Lord's Supper this morning, and we take of this bread, there's nothing supernatural or anything like that that happens to the bread once it goes into our body. Okay, there's no transition of it. There's no changing of it. It is symbolism. Now, it's important symbolism. It's important that we observe it in that way. But he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So as we take of these elements today, it's to cause us to remember what Jesus has done. And then he goes on, verse 20, "And likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" There were two cups that were taken to out of the four, two of those were taken on the front end, and then traditionally two were taken on the back end. And one of those last two, toward the end of the observance of the Lord's Supper, Jesus takes one of those and he establishes this: "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Again, as we take of this grape juice this morning, there's nothing supernatural that happens whenever we take in the juice this morning. Nothing happens once it enters our body. But rather, it is to cause us to remember what Christ has done. That we take of His bread, remember His sacrifice, His physical sacrifice. Then as we drink the cup, it reminds us that Jesus shed His blood on Calvary for us. For our sins. And we transition from looking back. The apostles are here looking back, observing this Passover and remembering the deliverance of the slaves and out of bondage in the land of Egypt. And His faithfulness to lead them to the wilderness and His faithfulness to deliver them into the promised land. But what Jesus is doing is an about face of saying, "Yes, we remember what God has done, but let me tell you the new work God is doing. That I'm sacrificing myself on the cross. That my body will be sacrificed. My blood will be shed. An establishment of a new covenant." Why? Not just so Hebrews might be delivered out of physical bondage and slavery, but rather all mankind may be delivered out of bondage of sin. not just so that lead them through the wilderness on their pilgrim way, but that I may walk with my children all the days of their life. And not just so one day that they're delivered into the promised land of the land of Israel and they gather together in the holy city in Jerusalem, but one day the Lord Jesus is going to return for His bride. One day He's going to call us home. And there's not just a promised land sitting in a country somewhere, but rather there is a country to which I belong, and there is a city to which I belong that His the maker and builder our God. Man, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's going, man, we thank God for His faithfulness then, but let me remember what God has done because He is the same God. You healed back then and You heal now. You provided back then and You'll provide now. You are the same God. And so this morning, as we take of the Lord's Supper, our responsibility, our call, is to do so in a way that readies our heart, that we're ready to receive that. And so I just want to encourage you, we're about to have a time of invitation, time of response. And this is the response. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, dear friend, why in the world would you wait? Why would you wait? Jesus laid down His life for you so that you can have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. He'll deliver you out of the bondage of sin. He'll walk with you through the darkest of days. And one day, there's a promise that there's life after this. Surrender your heart and life to Him today. As I look around the room, I know that, man, there's a lot of folks in here. You've surrendered your heart and life to Him. We're in Vacation Bible School this week, and some of you, man, you were saved during Vacation Bible School. Maybe a day or two ago, but saved during Vacation Bible School. But as we get ready to take of the Lord's Supper today, yes, when we surrender our heart and life to Jesus, He forgives us of all our past, present, and future sin. But sometimes life just gets messy and gets hard, and we make poor choices, and we find ourselves in some junk, in some sin. And in terms of our salvation, He has forgiven us, but we need to come back to Him and confess often. And so I want to invite you during this time that we just have a time where you don't have to confess to me. You confess to the Lord. Maybe there's been some bitterness, some anger, some hatred, some frustration, gossip. And I don't know what's going on in your heart and your life. And man, most folks in here, man, Pastor, I'm good. I'm fessed up. I'm clean. I'm ready. But before we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to be clean and close to the Lord as much as we can. And so I want to encourage you, let's use this time of invitation. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, do it today. Pray and ask the Lord to save you and forgive you of all your sin. The Lord Jesus will save you. And if you're a believer, if nothing else, if you don't do anything else this morning, and we get ready for a time of invitation in just a moment, will you pray this? God, is there any unconfessed sin in my life? And if He reveals any to you, confess it. Convicts you of anything, confess it. That we may together in a few moments observe the Lord's Supper. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians that there were believers that were eating of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. What was the unworthy manner? They were living in some sin. They had some things going on in their life that were not of God. And it was better, they should have, many of them should have abstained from taking of the Lord's Supper whenever they were in their sin. But dear friend, more important than that, confess it and be clean that you may take of the Lord's Supper. Okay? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, You're good. We love and adore You. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. God, I pray that in this moment, if there's anybody here who doesn't know You, God, I pray You'd save them. God, give them boldness to come. And God, just talk to me or others about that relationship. Lord, I pray for believers, for us all across the room. God, if there's any unconfessed sin in our lives, that God, you'd reveal that to us. And we give us grace to repent of those things. Turn toward you. And you'd restore us. Lord Jesus, you do a work that only you can be glorified for. I pray this in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer. God spoke to your heart this morning. You spend some time praying. You need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Whatever God's doing in your heart, you respond to Him.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He was.
He washed it white as snow.
Well, amen. We are going to take of the Lord's Supper at this time. I'm going to invite our deacons, if you would come and help me at this time. As they come, let me just share with you about who the Lord's Supper is for. And you heard me talk just a moment ago, as best you can, that you're clean and close with the Lord. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, then you certainly need to address that. And if you feel like you're not at a place that you need to be, then you know, that's okay, and it's all right to pass on taking of the Lord's Supper. It's for those who have repented, placed their faith and trust in Christ. It's those walking in obedience that you've taken the step and of believer's baptism. It's also for those that are a part of a local body of believers. You're a church member. You don't have to be a church member here, but you're a church member of a church that's of like faith and order, teaches the same gospel that we do, and so on and so forth. And so I just want to encourage you in that way. And so we are at this time going to take of the Lord's Supper. And so with that, we are going to pass the bread and then come back. We'll pray over that, and then we'll take the bread together. Then we'll send out the cup again. We'll send that out, come back, and then pray and ask the Lord to bless the cup, and we'll take of that together, all right? So, all right, guys. Bible says that Jesus took the bread, He blessed it, and broke it. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for the sacrifice You made. Thank You for this bread. I pray that You would bless it. And God, may we remember the sacrifice that You've given. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may take and eat. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the shedding of your blood. For by it, we have remission of sins. And so, Lord, I pray you will bless this time, bless this cup as we drink it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, drink you all of it. Amen. Well, before we leave, we're going to sing as we leave. So I've put Pastor Jonathan on the spot, and he's going to help us sing 142, There Is a Fountain. We're just going to sing through the first verse. And so our men are going to be at the back ready to receive the offering as we leave today. Thank you so much for being here. I pray that you'll come be with us tonight. Again, starts at 6 o'clock, registration at 5:30, and so we'd love for you to come be a part of Vacation Bible School this week and invite the kiddos, all right? So let's stand together, and brother, you ready? Amen. Let's sing together.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all.